Remember those who fought in major conflicts in order to keep our country free and in order to support the people of other nations suffering under the threat of invasion. Acts of remembrance, such as those we are engaging in today, began after the end of the First World War, which ended 101 years ago. A war that was intended to end all wars, and so it was called the Great War. So horrendous was the suffering from this conflict that its ending was marked with ceremony on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. We remember those soldiers, sailors, airmen, nurses, and all who gave their lives for our country, and those who survived, many of them with terrible injuries to body and mind. But how can we remember people who fought and died so long ago, well before our earliest memories? Remembrance can involve reflecting on an activity or an occasion which we can't actually remember ourselves. In the early books of the Old Testament, God's own people, the Israelites, were constantly called upon to remember how God had brought them out of slavery in Egypt to the Promised Land. The story of that wonderful deliverance was passed down by word of mouth from generation to generation. And the story is often repeated in the words of the Psalms, calling the Israelites to remember God's actions and his presence with them. They couldn't remember the events of the Exodus from Egypt themselves, but they learned the lessons from the past in order that they could love and serve God in the present and into the future. Today, as we gather to remember, we can learn lessons from the past which should affect the way we act in the present and in the future. As we reflect on the cost of war, we can be so easily bewildered by the statistics. I'm thinking particularly of the Great War that began all these acts of remembrance. Over 9 million servicemen and women died from all the nations involved. And that doesn't include the countless civilians who were killed. Of those 9 million, nearly 900,000 were from Britain and her empire, which we now call the Commonwealth. The numbers are staggering, and I'm hopeless at maths, really not very good at figures, so that just blows me away, those figures. I visited many World War I cemeteries in France and Belgium, and I've been overwhelmed by the number of headstones and the number of names carved on the monuments which commemorate those servicemen and women who have no known grave. The Great War stands out in history for the sheer horror of its scale, and it's something from which we can learn in order that such horror is not repeated. The First World War also stands out for the impact it had on the communities of this country and all of those involved. Most villages, towns and cities were affected by the loss, a significant loss of a proportion of their young men and in some cases women. Most communities like ours in Harwell have a war memorial which names those who died in World War I, World War II and in later conflicts. The devastation of war was felt throughout this country, throughout the empire, and throughout the other combatant nations. But the Great War also stands out for its effect on most of our families. As some of you may have done some family history and been tracing back your forebears. Some of those forebears will have been killed in one of the wars. Our own family lost my great uncle, James Cross, in the First World War. He left his native Lockinge and joined the King's Own Yorkshire Light Infantry. He actually ran away from home and went to Sheffield. So he was killed in the Second Battle of Ypres. And his family can remember the sound of the train leaving Wantage Road station that was then in action. And they never saw him again. He was killed at the age of 19, and because his battalion were in such a fierce fight where so many people were just blown to pieces, there is no known grave. Uncle Jim's sister, my granny, named her son, my dad, Jim, after him. So it has had that rolling effect on their family, and it will have done on lots of our families. Uncle Jim is commemorated on the Menin Gate in Ypres. Some of you will have been there. And he's recorded in the register there, as well as having his name appear on the Lochinge War Memorial. I think that the key to remembering the Great War and subsequent conflicts is to remember the individuals involved, not only because it's difficult to grasp large numbers, but because those lives were the true cost of war. It's important that we reflect on the individual lives lost, the individual lives decimated by terrible injury to mind or body, the individual families who were left suffering with loss, grief, and other things that still reverberate in our lives today. Reflecting on the individuals affected should help us to think carefully about war in the present and in the future. We shouldn't just think of a mass of people. In 1914, the enemy was just called the Hun. So they were all bad. They were the Hun, the enemy. And it's easy to demonise a group or a nation, but more difficult when we think about people as individuals, individuals for whom Christ died. And it's because Christ loves each one of us that we should value one another and seek to avoid war until it is the very last resort. And we've been thinking about concern for the individual. I think that's important, as God is concerned for the individual too. God loves us deeply and cares about every part of our lives. Jesus tells his followers in Luke chapter 12 that God knows how many hairs we have on our heads, and that we should not be afraid of those who can kill the body. Isaiah chapter 49 tells us that we are inscribed on the palms of God's hands. Imagine that. God knows each one of us by name, and he remembers each one of us. None of us is a nobody. We are all loved and valued by God. God's knowledge of and care for the individual is reflected in the cemeteries created by the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. Each burial is marked by a headstone, and where the identity of the soldier, sailor, airman, nurse, or whoever it is, where that identity is not known, then the words, "known unto God," are engraved. God knows their identity, even if we don't. And because God loves and values everyone, we should do so too. That's why we give honour to those who died during the wars that have kept our nation free. Why we should value those who serve in our armed services now. And why we should honour those who continue to live with injury or distress long after they've been discharged from the armed forces. For the same reason, we're called to work for reconciliation with our enemies, whether from the past or enemies in the present. We are called, in the words of Romans chapter 12, to bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And to hate what is evil, cling to what is good, and be devoted to one another in brotherly love. We can't do all this in our own strength. We can only do it when Jesus Christ reigns in our hearts and minds, when we can say with Job, "I know that my Redeemer lives." When we allow ourselves to be directed by Jesus rather than us, then we can look forward in real hope to being able to love and honour one another, and to help others to come to know him too. Individual lives changed by Christ will lead to a village being changed, a country being changed, a world being changed, a world where war becomes a thing of the past, because we love God and love one another in Jesus' name. And a closing prayer. Give us, dear Lord, the courage to work for peace in our world, in our country, in our village, in our street, in our family, in our home, in ourselves. Amen.